Well, Dave Brown oversees all the safety operations at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's a heavy responsibility. We'll talk with him. I'm Pat Sullivan. This is another IndyCast. Well, Dave Brown has been a part of the Indy Racing IndyCar Series all across the country, but Indianapolis, Dave, presents some special challenges.
No, absolutely, Pat. We've been doing Indy for 41 years now, and obviously there's a lot of speed here, and the track is much bigger than any other track we run on, so definitely more challenges.
When did you first get involved, Dave?
My first race on the payroll was 1966.
1966, that's a long legacy, and when did you assume your current position?
Current position was assumed January 1997, just before the Phoenix race.
Tell us about your crew, and they are the best in the business. We always comment across the country. One of the unique things about them, if there's an accident, sometimes the car has not stopped and they're right on the seat. That's kind of what you expect of them.
That's correct. Our goal is to be at the driver's side in 30 seconds, and we achieve that goal 99.9% of the time. We've got 45 folks on our staff, two orthopedic surgeons, six ER docs, seven trauma nurses, nine paramedics, and the balance of our crew is firefighters and firefighter extrication specialists.
Dave, talk about the training these guys go through. Now, obviously, so when they come into orthopedic surgeons, they're already well trained. But you know, people that are on your crew, they know the state of the art situation in terms of rescue and also dealing with the drivers.
Well, big thing that's different between the race and the streets where these folks work and the trauma patients at the docs see is that it all happens right in front of us. We've got, when we're working on an ambulance crew, we've got 10 to 15 minutes to think about what we may have to do, get further updates, and make some decisions before we get to the scene itself. At a racetrack, it happens right in front of us, and we really don't have time to think through what we're going to do. We've got to know the protocols that we follow, and we've set up both medical protocols and incident protocols that we utilize.
You know, one of the things that I think has made this very important is no driver wants to be in an incident, and when they're in one, though, however, they look up, and guess what? They see familiar faces.
Well, that's always a big help. There's no question about that. And as you said, many of our team members have been with us since the inception of the Indy Racing League. One of the things that we do is, well, we do two things a little differently. First of all, we have a full-day training first Saturday in January every year where all of our doctors, nurses, paramedics, and firefighters get together and go through a full day of training. We practice extrication, practice helmet removal, practice airway management, so on and so forth. But then before the first three or four races up until May, we do another couple hours of updates as well. And what this allows us to do is to get to a point where we can do our extrications literally from the back of our head. My guys are put on crews during this training that they're not used to working with. And yet every time, without fail, they can do an extrication from the truck to the car with the driver on a lawn board in less than a minute.
You know, one of the things I learned from you a couple years ago, Dave, is that while this isn't really being driven just by, a twist towards the horror or the bad things that can happen, but when there's been an incident at some racetrack, even a short track, if there's a situation that has come up at a short track somewhere in America that has produced some problems, you want to report on that. You may want to film on that. You may want to watch a situation so you know if this situation arises, here's what to do and here's what not to do.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And many of our folks do work short tracks. As I said, I've worked out here at IRP since 1969. That's probably one of the best short tracks in the country. But we put together training sessions literally used throughout the country so that we can help with the training that goes on at each and every one of those short tracks.
We talked one time about the fact that you're very proud of all the safety innovations that have occurred at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And in fact, you can almost trace the evolution of what you do by virtue of how we've handled things in the past.
That's correct. One of the things that probably has had the most development throughout my career is the shoehorn extrication board that we use. It's a short board that allows us to cover the driver's spine from the tailbone up to the top of his head. It's made very narrow and in a curvature that much fits his body, but that narrowness allows us to get that behind the lay-down driver in an Indy car. We've also used it in NASCAR Cup racing. We've also used it in short track midget and sprint and Silver Crown racing. So that little shoehorn went from a plywood board up to the steel board that it is today, just by the way we've been able to use it at the different tracks we've worked at.
Whether you have been at the racetrack or watched on TV, we've all seen this scene. The driver gets out of the race car. They're hot. They're unhappy. The safety crew guy goes alongside of him. Quickly, the driver brushes the safety crew guy away. The last thing that you can count on is the driver's report that they're okay.
Well, absolutely. The driver always tells us he's okay. There's no question about that. He doesn't want to be sat down for another race, another day, another week or two. He wants to be back behind the wheel just as soon as the car is repaired. But many times, obviously, we find that even though he got out on his own, even though he refused any care, that he did, in fact, have some injuries. And that's the reason we require all of our drivers, after an incident, to go back to the care center for further evaluation. At that point, we also can read the black box. It gives us a good indication of, first of all, what his head did inside the cockpit through the accelerometers he's wearing in his ears, and then by looking at the black box itself to tell how many G's the car sustained and for how long those G's were sustained. With that information, our docs then can determine what further testing may have to be done before that driver can be released to another day.
It's amazing. And at one point, I don't know if you're still using it, didn't Delphi develop an earpiece so we could even get some more information from an accident?
Yes, that's the ear accelerometers that they wear, so we can see the direction that the head took and the hits that the head took inside of the cockpit.
It's interesting. We go back to the Roadster era in Indianapolis, a golden age in some people's minds, but we learned that all the energy in an accident got transferred to the cockpit. We've re-engineered cars from the data that we learn about accidents. We've had to make some adjustments over the years of the Indy Racing League, all to make racing safer.
There's no question about that. In fact, when I first started working, we were still running some of the Roadsters. They used to bounce down the track. We take them back to the garage, shine them up, put them on a track the next day. Well, unfortunately, the driver either was being heavily cared for at the hospital or possibly didn't even make it to the hospital. So the difference that we've got now, where we have crush zones in front of the driver, crush zones behind the driver sitting in a crush zone, we have a crush zone on each side of the driver's helmet. And now with the safer barriers at the walls of all the tracks we run on, we have more crush zones because the wall itself actually now moves in to absorb some of that energy. So every bit of the energy that we can get away from the driver, we do. And many of those fundamentals were actually designed into our very first car, which showed up on a racetrack in 1997. However, the drivers were sitting on the bare bottom of that car with no seat, no surrounds or any kind. And we took that car and moved it up to the point at which it's at today, where we can actually protect that driver very well.
You know, Dave, we look at that safer barrier and sometimes you scratch your heads and say, how come we didn't think of that before?
You always wonder why you didn't think of a lot of things before, but that safer barrier is probably one of the best things that we could have done to a racetrack facility itself to make the driver's life better.
Dave, a final thing. The one thing that I've always felt really the warmest about is knowing your crew and your guys. These guys are race people, and they absolutely love the sport.
No question about it, and we get a lot of our suggestions from them, but we, as I said, teach and practice protocols. It's a way of thinking. It's a way to make things better all the way around, and because those guys have such a love for the sport, gals as well have such a love for the sport, they continually think how we can make things better.
Well, I tell you, we see them out in those fire suits looking at one corner in 90-degree weather in places like Kansas. We really appreciate what they do. Thanks for your time, Dave.
Thank you, Pat.